Today I want to speak on the dream never dies. And see, the thing about life, you know, we're going to talk about Abraham and how easy it is to begin a dream. You know, it's easy because God kind of speaks to you in generalities when it first starts. Because if he told you everything that you'd have to go through, I don't know if we'd go through it. So God says, you know, God told Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, here's a simple dream. Leave your father and mother and go to a place. And that's very general, right? So God begins with generalities, but as you get into it, he'll begin to speak specifically concerning your dream. And so today I just want to encourage you because God has given everyone he's ever created, he has placed within them a dream in their heart. And sometimes we get befuddled, we get confused, we get discombobulated. Let me see if I can find a bigger word to use. But we get in these places sometimes where we just miss it. And I think a lot of times it's because we focus on the how and the what and we forget about the who and the why. When we do that, we miss the purpose that God has for us. I find when I start losing vision is when I begin to focus on things that God never asked me to focus on. There's some things that God's going to take care of that we're just going to not know the answer to, but going to have to trust him to do it. And so today I want to encourage you. You may be in a place where, you know, Pastor, I thought it was this, and I thought it was this way, but, you know, and God told me this, but I just don't see it. So I want to encourage you to let you know that God's dream for you never dies. And that I believe today God's going to reconnect you to the dream that God has for your life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you already for the great presence that we've experienced during worship. And Lord, we thank you that that presence, Lord God, is all that matters. Lord, we thank you that you're going to anoint the message. Anoint me to deliver the message. Anoint the people to receive the message. Lord God, I pray that the word goes into our hearts and it brings root and brings fruit in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 29:11-13, this is God talking to Jeremiah. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's some connections here that I want us to understand about God's dream for our life, that our dream is dependent on our pursuing him. He said, I have a plan for you, but you're going to have to seek me. And if you seek me with all your heart, the divine connection between your dream, God's dream for your life. And I know this, you know, Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So as we desire him, he connects us to our dream. As we seek him, we begin to understand his plan. Listen, don't just go after the dream. That's shallow. That's what most people do. We go after dreams. Why don't we connect to the dream giver? And out of the dream, out of that, our relationship of being with the dream giver, as we seek him with all our heart, as we pray, as this is what he says. He said, seek me, call on me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So that's some really good indication of how I stay in what I call the jet stream of the Holy Spirit. The way I stay in the jet stream of the dream that God has for my life is to continue to seek, continue to call on, and continue to pray. Because if not, there's going to be a divine, not a disconnect between what we thought our dream was and our relationship to God. So Jeremiah 29:11. Listen, God never forgets a word or a dream he's spoken to you. And as a matter of fact, he never gives up on it. Isn't that funny? And how many times do you read in the word how God calls men and then the word of the Lord comes to him? You know, the word of the Lord and God's dream are synonymous. Listen, when I left Louisiana to come to Mississippi, God told me, you go to Mississippi. And he gave me some specific things that he spoke to me. There's words that God connects to your dream. And sometimes the physical manifestation of what God says is not going to be evident. Remember what Pastor Joel said last week? He said, facts have to submit themselves to God's truth. We're either going to believe what we see and the facts, or the greater truth of what God says. We can't submit ourselves to facts. And you say, well, Pastor, you're not a realist. No, I'm not a realist. I'm a supernaturalist. Yeah, I understand there are some legitimate things that are happening in my life, but I'm not giving credence above what God says about my life. I'm going to live in the supernatural. You can call me crazy if you want. God calls me faithful. God doesn't consider men who live by faith crazy. He just considers them faithful. So God never forgets about a word. He's going to see it through. We just have to hold on to that word or that vision and continue and trust and believe. You see, faith has got to come before manifestation. Without faith, God said in Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the currency of heaven. There is a divine deposit in heaven, but the only way you can withdraw from that deposit is through faith. And we're going to talk about that in Genesis 15, where God said, he told Abraham, I mean, think about the thing he told Abraham. He said, leave your father and mother and go to a place that I'll show you. So Abraham obeyed. Here's a fact about doing what God's called you in your dream. You're going to have to make a move. You're going to have to put feet to your faith. You have to make a decision. Because before that, we all know the story of Terah, Abraham's dad, how he left to go to the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan and settled in a place called Haran. He settled for mediocrity. He settled for what life gave him. And this was his testimony. He lived 205 years and died there. Not much of a life. So God had called Abraham to go, and Abraham went, and then he didn't know. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and all the world is going to be blessed because of you. So he went on a word, not knowing where he was going. And so isn't that funny how Abraham began to think and plan out in his mind how the dream was going to work? About that. God gave him a simple word, said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the miraculous. You do the practical. You obey, and I'm going to take care of you becoming the father of many nations. And then Abraham said, let's look at Genesis 15. Well, before we do that, let me finish what I was going to say. I want to get into it, but I'm going to wait. Listen to this. God, in Isaiah 55:11, it says, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. When God releases a word over your life, it's a word that's going to come to pass if you cooperate with it, if you believe, if you obey. Do you know that all God's dream is conditional on your obedience? I remember a long time ago praying. When I got saved, I got radically saved. I was crazy. I mean, I was crazy to the Lord. I was preaching. Everything was black and white. And that's just the way it was. And I remember the Lord spoke this to me. It was a profound word to me. He said, you can be called all your life and never do one thing for me. And Jesus in the scripture says, many are called, but few are chosen. What separates the called from the chosen? It's those that step out and obey the will of God. Those that obey the dream. Those that are willing to leave and go. Isn't that funny how God said, leave your father and mother and go to a place? So the first thing I'm going to have to do is I've got to believe the word of God, but then I've got to go. And I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you to stay. Because you are no threat staying, you're only a threat going. So God's word and God's dream is synonymous for you. There's always a divine word connected to the dream and seasons of the dream for your life. God is going to speak to you. Listen, you say, Pastor, well, how do I know what to do? You don't do anything until you know that God's given you a word to do it. And if not, just stay faithful to the last word he gave you. And by the way, can I just help you a little bit? God's never in a hurry. Lord, have mercy. It took me a long time to learn that. Because I'm in a hurry all the time. Was. I'm getting better. But you know what? When we get in a hurry, we feel like we've got to make something happen. You know what you call that when you make things happen in the dream that God's got for your life? You know what you name him? Ishmael. You can make things happen, but I don't know if you want the results. So in everything that I've learned, the timing and the seasons of God, that there's going to be times where you feel like there's no momentum in your dream, that you're not doing anything. But I can promise you, when you're not moving, God's moving. He may not be moving on the outside where you can see, but he's doing something in you. God will never do something through you in your dream until he first does something in you. As God's never not active in your life. Sometimes it's perceptible, sometimes it's not. And God's working something in you. Just rest. Here's a better word for you. Chill. Take a break, man. Relax. Man, when we get anxious and pushy, how many of you know that's not a good feeling? I can tell you if you know if you're in the way of God or not. If you feel like it, can you see me back here? I feel like I'm peeking over a wall. When you feel that anxious feeling and you feel like you got to do something, you better stop. Just wait. Let's read Genesis 15, 1 through 6. And let's focus on Abraham and God's dream for him and some keys to holding on to and fulfilling God's dream for your life. How many of y'all, you know what my goal is in life? To fulfill every aspect of the call of God for my life. And here's the deal. If that's going to happen, then I can't live a static, settled life. I've got to be on the edge of the call of God for my life. Think about that. I've got to wake up with a sense of destiny. I've got to wake up with a sense of passion that I'm doing something for God. And listen, every day there's going to be someone, something, some circumstance that's going to try to deter and disconnect you from that feeling. Now, we don't live by feeling. Sometimes I feel like it ain't going right, but I'm just, you know what? My Uncle Scott, I was talking to him last week. He's one of the presbyters over this church, overseers. He said, Franco, don't let anybody take your vision. Don't let anybody stop you to forget why you're here. Always keep that in the forefront. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't let things become the focus or you'll lose your dream. You can't do it. Look at Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. After what? Well, it was after he left his father and mother. It was after Lot separated from him. Listen, there's going to have to be some undoing before God does some doing in your life. Hello? Some relationships are going to have to go. You're going to have to go. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to fulfill God's will for your life after this, listen, now this is a neat time because he already had a word of the Lord, right? But see, there's going to be times in your life where God does some things where you feel like a part of you is going to die, but then God can speak. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield and very great reward. Wow, what a saying from the Lord to Abraham. I'm your shield and your very great reward. In other words, I'm going to protect you and I'm going to bless you. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? Isn't that funny? Abraham had already figured out what was going to happen. He left with a word that I'm going to bless you and make you a father of many nations. But he had even forgot that God had called him to be a father, and that instead of him being a father of many nations, he had already planned, wrote out his will to give his stuff to his next of kin. I want to tell you right now, when God gives you plan A, he doesn't have a plan B. You may have worked out plan B in your mind, but God is saying, hold up, wait a minute. I never told you to talk to Eleazar. I never said Eleazar was not in my first word. I didn't say you're going to have all this stuff and give it away. But in his mind, he had already figured out how God's dream is going to work. He had had a plan B. Isn't that funny? It's amazing to me how fast we can go to default plan. It's amazing to me that we as Christians, we shout, we thank God, but when things don't go the way we think they ought to go, we say like Peter, I'm going back fishing. A man who walked with the Lord, who saw his miracles, and just given up hope when things didn't work out the way they thought it should work out. God does not, I want you to write this down, and please remember, God doesn't have a default plan for your life. Your mind doesn't work right. I'm going to tell you, some of us are so brilliant in our minds that our minds become our enemy. You think too much. And Abraham had time on his hands, and he began to think. You see, God was separating people from him, and he had left his family. And so he figured the plan out in his mind, because that's what good leaders do. Abraham said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And the word of the Lord came to him. You know what? Isn't that good that God's word can rebuff our stinking thinking? Isn't it good? Isn't it good how Elisha, what about Elisha by the brook? And the Bible says that God had spoken to Elijah, and the word of the Lord came to Elisha a second time. You know why that happened? Because he was. Sometimes we think one way and God's got to say, hey, wait a minute, let me just say again what's going on. And so Abraham had figured all this out, and the word of the Lord came to him. He says, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Something settled with this conversation with God, with Abraham. God had to say, wait a minute, that's not how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. Your own son out of your own family, from your lineage, is going to be the one. And out of that is going to come multitude. And then he said, come here, let me give you a little. How many of you, God had to use the illustrations? Look up at the stars. And then it connected in his heart. He saw, and God said, that's how your offspring is going to be. And he said, I see it. And he believed, and it was deposited. You see, that word credited means there was a divine deposit that happened that day. Guess what? From that day forward, Abraham never spoke the way he had spoken before. Because through faith, he received and it became a deposit in his heart. Y'all understand that? So when we begin to live by faith and grasp by faith what God does with our dream, we'll begin to walk our faith out. When you say, Pastor, you just don't know my situation. I don't have to know your situation. I know God. A situation ain't nothing but a situation. It's temporary. It's got a start. It's going to have an ending. But God is God, and he's going to have the last say. no matter what you go through. God's got a dream and the devil can't stop it. Here's four things I want us to understand about God's dream for our life. Number one, God's dream doesn't equate to our schemes. Some of us know how to work a deal, baby. I'm telling you, Jacob's problem wasn't that he wasn't a good businessman. His problem was he was Jacob. That look, there, I can make things happen. I have a gift. But I don't know if I want the results of things happening by me making them happen. God's dream never equates to our scheme. Some of us are schemers instead of dreamers. Don't let your dreams become your schemes. See, Abraham behind the scenes was scheming how this thing was going to come to pass. He had figured it out. Some of you figured it out, you just figured it out wrong. Maybe you need to go back and rethink a little bit how God's going to do it. In other words, stop thinking. There's so many times, like when we started the church, when I started the church, I had an idea in my mind of how everything was going to work out. You know, when you scheme and you put things in your plan, how it works, you are limiting how God wants to work. Our dreams, our God's dreams, doesn't equate to our schemes. And I had figured out, you know what happens when things don't work out the way we want to? We lose hope. Yeah, God, but you said, he did say, but he didn't say that he was going to work that way. Abraham schemes on how it's happened. Look, even after God spoke this to him, he took wrong counsel from his wife. She said, look, we're not going to have a baby. Why don't you take my servant, Hagar, and we'll make this thing happen. You know who we're dealing with in the Middle East right now and all the problems that are occurring? You know who the daddy of all those people are? Ishmael. And God spoke that he was going to be a thorn in the side of Israel. And it's still happening today. So listen, how do I avoid scheming? God never asked you to do anything but trust him. He didn't ask you to figure out how it's going to happen. And that's hard for us because we're good. We are, right? We just ain't good enough. We just got to trust God. Sometimes as a pastor, I want to get involved in these things, and God says, just back off. I don't have to run everything. I just got to do what he says. Just back away and let God work. When we scheme and do things under our own strength and own intellect and own ability, we are limiting the supernatural power of God. God will never fulfill his dream through your natural ability. Because if that were the case, it wouldn't be his dream. So let's stop scheming. We got to have patience and trust. That's the key. Patience and trust. God's dream doesn't equate to our scheme. Don't worry over the particulars. Believe in the who. Don't focus on the how. Let him reveal you step by step. God always gives a dream incrementally. He'll give you one general statement about your dream, of the overview of what it's going to look like, but then as you progress and obey God, he's going to give you one step at a time exactly what you need to progress in the dream. Don't overthink it. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends your understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's a good one. So number two, don't worry over the particular. Trust the Lord. How many of y'all are bogged down in the particulars today? The intricacies that only God can handle. Let those things go. Let His burden be His burden, not your burden. Where Jesus says, listen, in Matthew where He says, take my yoke upon you, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you're not walking light today, it's because you're worried about things you shouldn't worry about. You're carrying things you shouldn't carry. So don't worry over the particulars. Number three, the third thing you've got to realize in God's dream for your life is that God's plan is the plan. He doesn't have a plan B. Isn't it funny when we construct how the plan should happen? When we do that, we lose the big picture and the ability to continue to progress. You know one of the greatest enemies of God's dream for your life is two words. Are you ready? I think. Well, I think. There's a lot of well-meaning people who come to me and say, Pastor, I think we should. And you know what I do? I just say, thank you. I appreciate input, but if God doesn't speak to me, I ain't doing it. Well, that sounds proud. No, it's not proud. It's wise. If you listen to everybody's I think, you won't know what you think. I've heard some people say, you know, you're pretty hard-headed. I said, yeah, I know I have to be. Show me a man who doesn't have a vision, who isn't focused on the vision. Does that make sense? It's not that you're not teachable and you don't consider things. It's just that when God's spoken to you and you have a vision, you better be faithful to God because everybody thinks you ought to do things all kind of ways. Proverbs 3:5-6. Listen, trust first, understand later. Trust first, you'll understand later. Obey first, understand later. How many of y'all ever knew when you were going through something in your life that was part of the hand of God that you figured out what was going on until after it was over? There's things that happened to me and I was so shaken up and shaking my head, trying to get the cobwebs out of my head. I didn't have a clue. But when it was over, I could look back and say, you know what? That was pretty smart what God did. Huh. Now, was it comfortable? No. Did it make me feel good? No. Was it right? Yes. Because every time I went through those times where I couldn't understand what was going on in the dream of God, God was adding an ability or a ministry or a talent that would sustain me to complete what He called me to do. There's some things that you're not going to get for your ministry until you go through something. Hello? There's some things that you must go through to be equipped for what you're supposed to do. Don't let the limitedness of yourself keep you from going through the unlimitedness power of God. Because, you know, we think we know how God moves. Until He moves in a way He's never moved before. One thing I figured out about God's dream is that God does what He wants, when He wants, any way He wants. he's God. You know, it kind of reminds me of Job. I've been reading the one-year Bible. How many of y'all have been reading the one-year? And his friends are trying to figure out everything that's going on. Well, you must be in sin. And they're trying to argue, well, I'm righteous, Job is saying. And then God comes on the scene and says, wait a minute. Where were you when I created the star? Where were you when I held in my hand the ocean? And who do you think you are telling me how I'm supposed to do things? Isn't that the way we do? Well, God, you know, God did it this way and God's going to do it. You're so silly. Don't we get silly? You know, I've been serving the Lord now. I was 22 years old when I got saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I figured out a few things. And I had to get older in my life to figure out I hadn't figured out much. And everything that I thought the way things should go, God just totally reconstructed my thinking by the way he did things. And all I could say, you see, you got to get to a place. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be your name. In other words, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I know this. You are right. And I can trust you. And I love what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You see, when you get to that point in your life about God's dream, you understand it's not about you. It's about how God can use you as a vessel for his glory. Yeah, but Pastor, it's so uncomfortable. Just embrace being uncomfortable, that's all. I've just learned in this ministry life that I'm not comfortable a whole lot. That God never saved me for me to be comfortable. He saved me to fulfill the call of God, the destiny of my life. And that means most of the time, I'm just going to be uncomfortable. Trust first, understand later. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In other words, God's saying, trust with all your heart and quit thinking so much. Then number 4, this will be the last one. Faith and our trust is a deposit of what's to come. Here's the deal. The Bible said that Abraham believed and it was credited to him unto righteousness. The value is in the deposit. The value of the dream is us connecting with our faith. Here's what faith is. Faith is like having a check, right? Where you can write an amount in it, go to the bank, and get the value of the check of what's in the deposit. You see, your faith is what connects to the value. The paper itself, you know, the dollar bill you have in your pocket, it's legal tender, but it's not worth anything. The only thing that makes it worth something is the money that backs it up. So when Abraham believed, he wrote the check of faith. And because God had it in his bank account, when he wrote the check, God said, here you go, you got it. Come on, there's no value in just living the dream, but you've got to connect to the value of what God said. I'm giving you the value to do it. I've got everything that you need to do it. Abraham believed, and it was credited to his account. Never have faith for your dream and you don't connect to it in a way where it becomes a deposit, then you'll never change to the point to do it. You see, remember when Jeremiah said, I decided that I wasn't going to say anything, but it was just like fire shut up in my bones. God had put something in him, the deposit of God. It would be like me saying, I tell this to Tanya sometimes, I'm like, you know what? One day I'm going to get a lot of money and move to the mountains. Live as a hermit. Don't tell me you don't ever feel like that. But you know what? If I did that, I'd be miserable. Because there's something in me that God has deposited. connected to this body, and it's something that I wake up with, and I can't shake it. You see, the dream is not just a hope. It moves from a hope to a deposit. And because of that deposit, the hope, let me use a better word, it propels you into action. Come on. God has a dream for you. And the only way we get connected to it is by saying it. The word believed, and it was credited. It means, in the Hebrew, it means reckoned it to be so. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, whether we see it or not, I got it. I've reckoned it to be so. As availing for or equivalent to something, having the like force or weight of something. Like that deposit. Can I just tell you, the dream never dies. God's dream for you never dies. God didn't forget about what He said to you. Yeah, but Pastor, it's been a long time since I felt. Come on, let's reconnect today to the dreams that God has for your life. Let's bow our heads, if we will. How many of you know that God had a dream for you and all mankind? And because of that, Jesus was the deposit. The Bible said that Jesus was the down payment. For us, He paid the price. Let me ask you today, is there anyone here to say, Pastor, you're preaching and I don't have a clue, but I believe that Jesus died so that I could be connected to the dream. Is anyone here? Jesus walked this earth, lived a sinless life, died as a sacrifice for us. Is there anyone here to say, Pastor, I want to make a decision to make Jesus Lord of my life? Just raise your hand wherever you are today. Anybody? All right. How many of you say, Pastor, I want to reconnect to God's dream for my life? Reconnect to the passion. I want to reconnect to that deposit. Today, I'm going to believe. Anybody? Amen. I see those hands. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, we'll pray over you. We're going to dismiss. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you never created a human being who wasn't a dreamer. Because when you create us, you have your dream. You take a piece of your heart and you place it in us. And we're full of that dream. God, I loose, Lord, a refueling, a refiring of the dream of God in the people of this church who have raised their hand, even those who haven't, but have really just lost hope. I pray in Jesus' name that a divine connection, a divine deposit of God would be loosed into their hearts, and they wake up with a sense of purpose and destiny, a passion, a fire, God, that we are here to make God known. Lord, I thank you for it. I loose it, Lord. I pray for every marriage, every family, every single individual, every person in this place. Out the dream of God for their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. So glad you came.
You wrote a letter to you. Have it all. My heart is yours. You wrote a letter.